Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Sitting in for Jim Smalley, here's Ryan McNally.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. Today on the show, the 32nd annual Grain Millers Harvest Showdown is coming up this week in Yorkton. We have Len Malinowski talking about the show, which was canceled due to COVID-19 last year. And on the Yorkton Exhibition Association and Yorkton Chamber of Commerce declaring this week Agriculture Week. We also hear from a Delisle area farmer and lawyer who is attending the COP26 Climate Conference in Glasgow, Scotland, on behalf of the National Farmers Union. And of course, the farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Filling in for Jim, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. November 1st to the 7th has been declared Agriculture Week by the Yorkton Exhibition Association and the Yorkton Chamber of Commerce. A burning of the brand ceremony kicked things off this morning. A key feature of this year's celebration is the 32nd annual Grain Millers Harvest Showdown, which starts on Wednesday. Len Malinowski is the president of the Yorkton Exhibition Association.
You know, it's so nice to see the Harvest Showdown the big thing for us. As the Yorkton Exhibition, we like to bring family and friends together. And that's the most important thing to the whole board. We want to make sure that we move forward and keep it all so we get everybody back involved. And it's going to be so interesting to get everybody in, get the cattle in, get the grain back in, get the farmers in. You know, everybody benefits from this, right up to the city. I mean, they're booked probably. They got the hotels are booked. Everything's a go when we move this show forward, and that's the most important thing today.
He gets into what's planned for the show.
Well, right now we've got a few things planned for, like, Wednesday. We have the show, the cattle show is on, and we have the grain show starting here on Wednesday also, and we've got entertainment for Thursday night. We've got Lenny and the Gypsies for Friday night. And you know, when you buy your PPR ticket now, it's nice. Also includes we have the party after and everything after that. So, you know, you don't just get the PBR ticket, you also get the party after. And that's what we're here for.
He touches on how difficult it was to get a show going this year after it was canceled last year due to COVID-19.
Well, in an event like this, I take my hat off to the girls in the office. Barb does a lot of work. It takes a lot of extra time. We threw this show together. We came together and we said, okay, can we have this show? Can we not? It takes unreal time and effort to make it happen. I can't say enough about the hard work that the girls do in the office.
Malinowski talks about the success of the event over the years.
You know, it's nice in Yorkton, a lot of people, it's nice to come out. What I find that's really important about the show is we have a little of everything. We have the grain so that people can come look at all the grain. We have the cattle. People buy cattle. Myself, I purchase a pen of cattle I have for the last 10 years. It's nice to, you know, look at the good quality. You got probably the best quality cattle right here coming to this show, and we can build our herds, move forward, and it's also nice you get entertainment. The entertainment, you know, there's something to do in Yorkton. We like to bring that entertainment to Yorkton.
He discusses the possibility of expanding on the exhibition grounds.
Well, right now we're doing right now is we're making some updates. We are looking at some updates right now. We're changing some of our old bar area, and we're going to make a bin with a nice, we're making some changes there. And that's all that's on the plate right now.
Molinowski says the new grandstand was just built last year.
I can't thank the Yorkton Exhibition for the hard work. During a pandemic, we went out, we raised the money, we didn't bury our heads in the sand, we moved forward, and we made sure that grandstand is here to stay for not just my kids, my grandbabies, every kid after that.
We'll be back with more from Yorkton on the Agriculture Week ahead of the Grain Millers Harvest Showdown coming up on Wednesday after the break.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Covering for Jim Smalley, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialist. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. We're back with more tee up from the Yorkton Grain Millers Harvest Showdown coming up this week. Yorkton Mayor Mitch Hipsley was also on hand for the brand burning ceremony this morning as Agriculture Week was declared in Yorkton. He says agriculture built the community.
Well, I tell you, if it wasn't for agriculture, we simply would not be here. We've got such a fertile land, fertile belt. Often, you know, we've been referred to as salt of the earth, and we are. I mean, the perseverance of everyone that comes out to make this country what it is. I mean, this part of the world, when I say country, is what is giving us what we are. I mean, look what we have in three short generations. We came from basically pioneer with trees to what we have, we're standing here today. So it's just incredible that these are the commitments of the people and the hard work and the perseverance and the belief that this will be a better place, and it is. I do believe that Saskatchewan is the last frontier. When you look at Canada, Canada is incredible. But when you take a look at Canada and look at what we've got as a province, it's kind of like the last frontier, and I see it that way, and we're very fortunate.
Hipsley is excited to see the Harvest Showdown this year, especially since it was canceled last year.
This just breathes new life back into people and hope. You know, I mean, it's just so incredible to bring people together. We're social animals, and we need people. We need each other. So to come together on a common form of agriculture, almost anyone can speak to agriculture in some form or fashion.
The Grain Millers 32nd Annual Harvest Showdown runs from Wednesday through Saturday at the Gallagher Center in Yorkton. Economic Development Regina has launched a strategy to ensure the Regina area is a global farm and food hub in the future. President of Economic Development Regina, John Lee, says there is significant momentum for the region. He says there has been massive economic development announcements in the past few months.
These announcements account for more than $1.7 billion in investments, 1,500 in construction jobs, and over 1,000 permanent jobs and thousands of spin-off opportunities to come to our community, further confirming our community and our city's place as a global force in agriculture. Finally, about a year and a half ago, EDR, along in collaboration with the City of Regina, advanced what we called Regina's 10-year economic growth plan. This plan identified agriculture and food as a key driver and area of opportunity for our city. Put simply, Regina's agricultural opportunity is massive. It extends across multiple sectors of our economy, from manufacturing to construction to tourism and the hospitality sectors. It's generational and transformational, and an opportunity for the GRA. And I know, talking to a number of the key stakeholders, the leaders on our advisory committee and our board, we believe it's 100% achievable.
There are plans for a new canola processing plant and a waste straw pulp mill in Regina.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147 Sirius XM. It's now time for another beef market update with Ann Wasco of the Gateway Livestock Exchange. Okay, we got lots to discuss here, what's been going on in these beef markets. Give us a summation to start off on what's going on in this current market.
Okay, well, this week, a little bit of a mixed bag, U.S. versus Western Canada. U.S. cash trade finally a couple bucks higher on their live markets. So in the south, ending up with trade at 126, and in the north, 126 to 127, and $2 stress. So finally, Sean, breaking out of that 120 to 125 range that we have literally seen the U.S. cash market stuck in since June. So I wouldn't call this explosive. We've just broken out of the range, but it feels like, just like when you see some rain after a drought, okay, it can still rain. Yes, we can still trade U.S. cash cattle above 125. So that's good news. The cutout this week, the previous couple of weeks, as we kind of talked even 2 weeks ago, cutout looked like it was finding some stability and maybe making its seasonal, you know, bottom before we head into November and December. And that seems to be true. We're up $4 this week on the choice cutout to 285. And again, it feels, that's pretty seasonal to see that start to improve as we, you know, flip the calendar into November. And seasonally, that cutout should continue to move higher through the month. We still really expect, the demand for, you know, the holiday season, U.S. Thanksgiving, U.S. Christmas, New Year's, all those things still to support, especially that rib, primal, and see those prices move higher through November. So that's going to be, solid support to the belief that we're also going to trade cash cattle higher.
Yeah, we've started to see a little bit of discussion in the mainstream media about, you know, the price of food and, you know, inflation. And I've seen a couple ones. The one I'm thinking in particular was in regards to the U.S., where it was like, you know, the beef price is one of the things that leads us higher. It'll be interesting to watch that demand through some of this holiday season in the U.S. and if some of these prices do hinder some of that consumption.
Yeah, I think for now, Sean, I think, you know, a lot of the things we're talking about in terms of, you know, reduced stimulus money and a lot of those things are, you know, poised for more of early 2022. I personally think that we're going to get through the holiday season now still with that demand that we're expecting. And then, of course, as we look further down the road, we're going to have less production, less beef supply out there. And so arguably that still should support, you know, these higher prices, which, you know, we're going to anticipate flow down towards the producer level as well. So I hear what you're saying, but I think we're going to get through this holiday season with still some pretty good demand stories to tell.
What can you tell us about the cow run that is underway? Some cows are coming to town, ranchers being forced into this decision due to the drought.
Yeah. Well, I just want to back up and start with young cattle here in Western Canada because it kind of leads into that story. It was a disappointing week here in Alberta for fed cattle sales. Draft kind of $3 to $6 lower. So even though U.S. had a jump, we saw local trade lower this week. That brings us down to about $2.57 delivered here in Alberta. I think that's going to put an average this week around $1.54. So that's a disappointment. And I think the storyline is that there's lots of fed cattle still here in Western Canada in the queue. Our fed cattle slaughter this year is up 9%. Weights are up 6 pounds year to date. So just bottom line, lots of beef. Now we move into that cow run, as you, the fall cow run. And given this drought year that has just been so extensive and deep, there's lots of cows coming to town. I mean, these are decisions that, whether it's lack of feed, cost of feed, you know, you name it, we're seeing cows move in a big way. And what that has done to price in a very short period of time this month, in the month of October, if we average this week in the mid 50s, say on good cows, slaughter cows, that means that we'll have dropped $25 a hundred just in the month of October here in Alberta. And if you take a 1400 pound cow, call that an average cow, that's $350 less per head in the space of 30 days.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Mainly cloudy today, 30% chance of flurries, wind up to 15 kilometers per hour, a high of 0 degrees. Clearing this evening, a low minus 13 with a wind chill minus 19 over overnight. Mainly sunny tomorrow, the high of minus 2 with a low of minus 11. Wednesday, sunshine, a high of 6 degrees with a low of minus 3. Thursday, where it starts to warm up, a high of 12, sunshine, and a low plus 1. Friday, sunshine with a high of 10, a low minus 1. And Saturday, sunshine with a high of 9 and a low of minus 2. The normal high for this time of year is plus 4, the low minus 8. Sun rose this morning at 7:49, and the sun will set tonight at 5:35. In Saskatoon this hour, it's 0 degrees. Weyburn and Estevan both sitting at minus 1. Yorkton at 0. In Swift Current, it's minus 1. Partly cloudy in Moose Jaw. The wind west-northwest at 9. It's 0 degrees. Partly cloudy in Regina. The wind north at 13. It's minus 1.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan, Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Covering for Jim Smalley, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer is just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Thousands of people are attending the COP26 climate conference in Glasgow, Scotland, including a farmer and lawyer from the Delisle area. Glenn Wright is a member of the National Farmers Union. Saskatoon reporter Neil Billinger spoke to him on Friday prior for him leaving for Scotland.
There are thousands of people from all over the world attending, and the National Farmers Union of Canada is sending 7 members, and I'm one of them. And I expect what's going to be discussed is everything related to, you know, our climate crisis, and that is, you know, energy policy, transportation policy, certainly the finance component of it, in that developed countries who've contributed the most to the pollution causing climate crisis, they need to be providing some finance to help developing countries not make the same mistakes and build out dirty energy infrastructure. In addition, though, we have to provide finance to help them adapt to some of the changes that climate change is already going to bring in terms of threats to food security and other issues related to infrastructure.
Are you optimistic heading into this?
Well, you know, I've been at this for 10 years, and you know, I'm deeply troubled that after 30, you know, international conferences, we're still not reducing our emissions on a global basis. And I'm particularly troubled that Western Canada continues to expand our dirty energy industry that's exacerbating the climate crisis. But I believe there is hope in action. And I mean, I've always done a lot on my own farm to make changes and to lead by example, and that certainly gives me hope. And, you know, I was asked to go to the COP conference, and I believe I'm doing my part, and I really struggled with it because there's a lot of emissions associated with flying thousands of people from all over the world to go to a climate change conference. There's a certain amount of hypocrisy there, but yeah, I do find hope in action. I'm hopeful that we're going to have more ambition coming out of this COP26 conference than we have ever collectively had before, because the situation is more dire than ever before.
Do you think it's a matter of trust between the nations? Because it almost seems like people say it's a great idea, but you go first.
You know, that word is so critical. I'm glad you mentioned it. It is absolutely all about trust. And it's not just trust, you know, on an international level and the you go first idea that you mentioned, but even in Canada here, I've seen it here that we don't have that trust in our government that we need. And I mean, we've spent the last 5 years in recent history just arguing about pollution pricing, for instance. And there are many people who still don't trust our government to be able to implement the policies that are necessary to address climate change. And I think that's demonstrated by the fact that we continue to make pronouncements about what our goals are going to be and what we're going to do, while at the same time we continue to fund with our public dollars and subsidies expanding the very industries that we know we can no longer expand. So from my own personal perspective, what I'm hoping for more than anything is to see an end to the subsidies that are put towards fossil fuels. You know, that commitment has to be acted on by many countries, including Canada.
Does China have to play a role in this, because they have a lot of people and there's a lot of pollution? And I guess you could throw India in that equation as well. They both argue the historical thing, the North American, European countries have been producing emissions for a lot longer than they have. But at what point does that argument peter out?
Well, that's a great point, and it's a complicated point. But China, India, everybody's got to do their part in terms of the heavy lifting that needs to happen here. And yes, North America, we've got more historical emissions, but China is certainly the largest emitter in the world now. And so to pretend that, you know, we can do this on our own or that we can wait until China acts, neither of those things are going to work. And it goes back to that word of trust that you talked about, that we all have to do some heavy lifting and accelerate that transition. And China has been doing some things. They've got more electric cars and electrified transport than any other country. And, you know, Canada's got a long way to go. And you know, by rights, we should be electrifying our transport because we've got one of the cleanest grids. Most of our grid power across the country is hydroelectricity and some nuclear. And in Saskatchewan, we've got fantastic solar and wind resources that we're just not developing with nearly enough enthusiasm.
That was Glenn Wright, a member of the National Farmers Union, attending the Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. We'll have more on him in just a moment.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Filling in for Jim, here's Ryan McNally.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. We're back with more from Glenn Wright, a member of the National Farmers Union. He's in Glasgow for the COP26 Climate Conference. Saskatoon reporter Neil Billinger asked about which countries will be taking a lead in the upcoming negotiations.
Island nations that are most threatened by sea level change have been taking a lead, but they're not, don't seem to be as influential. Denmark, I think, is the one country, and Costa Rica. They are putting forward an initiative to try and, it's almost like a non-proliferation treaty to stop the expansion of fossil fuel like oil and gas. And I'm hopeful that that's going to gain a lot of traction from other countries. And Canada, we've done this before and played a lead role with respect to coal. So in a few international conferences ago, we put forward the Powering Past Coal initiative, and Canada played a lead role in that. And that's partly what's been responsible for us committing to no more coal-fired electrical generation in Canada by 2030. And so now we need to do the same thing with oil and gas resources because we're still expanding those on a global basis, and we know we can't.
A lot of people have connections to the oil and gas industry in Alberta and Saskatchewan. How do you bridge the gap? I mean, there's going to be a lot of people, if this happens, looking for new things to do. It's going to hit our economy really hard here. How is that addressed?
Well, there's no doubt it's going to hit our economy hard, but it is going to hit individuals who do work in those industries harder than most. And, you know, I look to our government. They've got to do some leadership on this file. And in the 2019 federal election, the Liberals campaigned on a just transition policy and wanting to implement legislation to that effect, and it still has not happened. But, you know, no one is suggesting that we're going to turn off oil and gas like a light switch overnight. We all know and recognize it has to be a transition. What we're saying here in Canada, and what, you know, Denmark and Costa Rica are putting forward, is that the time to stop expanding these resources is now. In fact, it's long past. But so the start of that transition has to just be a commitment to no further expansion. And we continue to produce, you know, using the infrastructure we've already built. But to continue expanding is only going to make that transition when it happens. It's not a matter of if, it's when it happens. It'll make it much more pronounced. So that's why I think we need to commit and walk the talk and, you know, act with conviction rather than just hot air that we've tended to see from many governments and many Canadian targets that have been put forward that have never been met.
That was Glenn Wright, a Delisle area lawyer and farmer and, well, member of the National Farmers Union. He's in Glasgow, Scotland, attending the COP26 conference.
The Market Updates on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The Market Update is brought to you by Nelson GM and Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving Southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years, see Nelson GM today. And Western Ag Professional Agronomy, if you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. This morning, Durham was up $9.19 to $7.0772. Feed barley was up $48.99 to $373.64. Canola was up $21.20 at $957.92. Flax was unchanged at $1,468.62. Lentils unchanged at $986.50. Oats were up $21.50 to $516.53. Yellow peas unchanged at $544.89. Feed wheat unchanged, $261.65. Number one red spring wheat was up $9.54 to $452.82.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lee bringing the market report direct from Heartland and Swift Current for the week ending October the 31st. 8,100 cattle on offer last week, all class of cows sold under pressure with a large volume of cows moving. Good stocks and feeders sold steady. Here are the quotations. Steers, 300 to 400 pounds for 235 to 265, 400 to 500 pounds, 220 to 235, 500 to 600 pounds, $2 to 225, 600 to 700 pounds, 180 to 205. Heifers, 300 to 400 pounds were $175 to $2. 400 to 500 pounds was $175 to $2. 500 to 600 pounds were $160 to $185. 600 to 700 pounds were $155 to $180. This has been Lee Crowley bringing the market report from Heartland Swift Current. For further information, please phone 773-3174. Good day and good marketing.
Now, the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
This is the hams market commentary for Monday, November 1st. Hams sold 5,000 hogs Friday, selling in a range of 179 to 197 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 8,200 head, selling in a range of 176 to 202 per CKG. 100 index hog prices for the week ending Saturday, October 30th are Ole West 2020 contract, 185.10, Ole West 2021 contract, 203.50, Maple Leaf Sig 4, 181.61, Hams Cash, 179.61, Thunder Creek Brickco, 189.42, High Life Cash, 191.29, and High Life Contract, $198.38 per CKG. Hams Cash out price today is mixed, and four contract prices open mixed this morning. On Friday, the Canadian dollar was down 23 basis points, with a daily exchange rate at 1.2384. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 80.91 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash prices are mixed to start the week, with the Western Corn Belt up 2 cents, National $1.30 lower, and the National Cutout Adjusted Base $2.27 U.S. 100 higher relative to the previous day. The trend in the Western Corn Belt National readings compared to a week ago remains lower, but the daily cutout adjusted price is higher than week ago benchmark. The extent to which this move represents a large trend reversal remains to be seen, but it would be difficult to achieve so long as the value of the pork cutout remains biased lower. The weekly primal average was down another 4% last week, marking the fourth consecutive week the cutout price moved lower. Weekly slaughter came in at 2.551 million head, and is 1.8% below the previous week, but unsurprising from a historical trend perspective. Of note, however, is that this week's kill was 5.2%, 5.3%, and 1.5% below 2019, 2020, and the three-year average, respectively, which likely reflects a combination of tighter supplies and ongoing labor challenges.
The Resource Report is coming up next.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan McNally.
And now for the Resource Report, it's brought to you by Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families, and Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada will impose a hard cap on emissions from the oil and gas sector, calling the promise a, quote, major commitment that should inspire other resource-rich countries to dramatically curb their own emissions. Trudeau said Canada is prepared to limit the growth of one of the country's largest industries to help the world hold the global average temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
In 2019, Canada's oil and gas sector accounted for 191 megatons of greenhouse gas emissions, 26% of the country's total emissions. The country's second largest source of emissions is the transport sector, which emitted 186 megatons. I made the statement at the COP26 summit in Glasgow. The Canadian Dairy Commission is recommending an 8.4% increase in farm gate milk prices, a large hike that's expected to raise the cost of dairy products on store shelves in the new year. The Federal Crown Corporation says the price increase is expected to be approved by the provincial authorities next month and take effect February 1st. The commission says a higher price processors will pay to help offset increased production costs for farmers due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Farm equipment manufacturer Deere & Co. reached a tentative labor agreement on Saturday with the United Auto Workers Union, but a UAW strike that began October 14th will still continue, and details of the proposed contract will not be released while the workers study the terms of the agreement in advance of a vote. The contract and talks come from the strong sales this year that helped Deere, based in Moline, Illinois, report a $4.7 billion U.S. net income for the first time in 9 months of its fiscal year, which was more than double the $2 billion U.S. it reported a year ago. The company is expecting to earn more than $5.7 billion U.S. this fiscal year. On the markets, the TSX is up 189 points to 21,266. The Dow has risen 62 points to 35,881. Oil up 53 cents to $81.40 per barrel U.S. And the Canadian dollar is up 18 hundredths of a cent at 80.88 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune into the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast. It's brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. For Jim Smalley, I'm Ryan McNally.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.